3. Thank you all for calling in. Before we start the regular formalities, I want to introduce and reintroduce Jay Brenhauer. Jay is a new board member and was appointed to fill the position vacated by Tom Schneider. Jay, welcome to your first meeting.
Oh, thank you.
In calling the meeting to order, the first item of business is the 2018 rate structure. We hear from long range planning.
Sure. I am responding to the email that Lee Bateman sent out, in which he made recommendations for the 2018 water rates to be effective in January. I responded. First of all, I sent all of Lee's recommendations out to the full long-range planning committee. And just based on my individual response to Lee's recommendations, asked the other team members for their input on each of them. And so just on the first item that Lee's recommended on the rates, just noticed that his rates weren't exact to the 3% that was being proposed. So I made my calculations and I got on the phone with Lee S. And we both verified that based on the calculations we made, that the rates for Cabin at 3% should go to from 823 to 848. That the Cabin with meters should go from 753 to 776. The combined lot should go from 118 to 122. And the bare lots should increase from 473 to 487. So based on the current numbers of cabins with meters, combined lots, and lots, it equated to $1,545,000. What I didn't have in there were the commercial, the four commercial ones that we have. So that total really, with the commercial ones in there, it really comes to $1,547,689. So it's it's about a $43,000 increase roughly to get to the exact 3%. Just based on my comments, the rest of the long range planning committee agreed that those should be the dollar amounts.
Okay.
So do you want me to get into all the rate recommendations at this point, or just that rate recommendation for the 3%?
Yeah, let me with your indulgence, the group's indulgence, we'll treat that one separately. Is there any other further discussion on the rate structure? I'd like to entertain a motion and get a second and put any further discussion on the question. Is there a motion to accept the rate structure as just identified?
I move that we accept the rate structure that Tom has identified.
Second.
I'll second that motion. This is Dave Owen.
Hey, Dave.
Hi, Dave Owen.
Hello.
Okay, on the question, is there any other discussion on the recommendation? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Anyone opposed signify by saying nay. Matter carries. 2018 budget.
There were other rate structure items that...
Yeah, let's
You want to go through the rest of the first?
If you would, please.
Go forward with it?
Yes.
Okay. So there were four other items that Lee Bateman had recommended related to primarily the rate structure, and also one that pertained to reserves. Before I briefly go into each one of those, I just wanted to state up front that the Long Range Planning Committee was formed for specific reasons. We have a charter, we have goals, and we have tasks that have been identified and approved. And so the protocol for the Long Range Planning Committee is that a task such as the rate structure is discussed within the Long Range Planning Committee. Consensus is arrived at that's brought forward as a recommendation to the board. And I just want to make it clear that that protocol was not followed here. There were recommendations made that were not made through the Long Range Planning Committee. One person on the Long Range Planning Committee making recommendations directly to the board is not the protocol that we follow. So now I'll just go briefly through the recommendations and put it out there for the board to do with what they so desire. The next item that Lee recommended was that rates would be effective January 1st, but owners would have until March 31st to pay without any penalty. My response to that was they're currently due by the 15th of February. There are penalties if they're not paid by that point, and if they're not paid by March 15th, they start incurring a 15% annual interest on amounts owed. And so my question to the Long Range Planning Committee was, is there any benefit to changing this? The consensus was that they did not see any benefit to extending the billing date due date at this time. And also that the rate and billing strategy should be discussed within the Long Range Planning Committee and then present our recommendations to the board. So the bottom line was all the other committee members' response was that we felt there was no need to change the current practice. Since I got those responses, I did also receive an input from Lee Schmieds and mentioning that in order to save money, the staff thought that they would include the water usage billings for billing within the 2018 shareholder fees, meaning when the first payment comes in from a shareholder, it would include the water usage for, I'm assuming, November and December?
Correct.
So this would mean mailing at the beginning of January instead of the third week of December, which would decrease the time shareholders have to make their payment from 8 weeks to 6 weeks. Lee's comment was, Lee Schmieds was, is February 15th enough time to pay? She also mentioned that the majority of the people do not seem to have a problem paying fees. Most of them actually pay within the first couple weeks. So I guess what's before the board to discuss and or decide on is based on the input from our staff, the Blue Lake, the water company staff, do we feel that keeping the date at February 15th and giving them 6 weeks to pay instead of 8 weeks is enough? Or do you want to consider maybe extending the due date out to the end of February?
What's the pleasure of the board?
Well, I wondered how many people are actually going to receive a statement for December for water. How many bills are we talking about? Because it's not all 600, I'm sure.
No.
That have meters.
Lee's estimating 200.
200 out of a total billing number of?
900. Well, 600. 600.
Plus the rest of the bill.
Well, it just makes more sense to me to put one envelope in the mail with a water bill and a shareholder's bill rather than send out the shareholder's fees and then 2 weeks later send out the water bills.
And most of the usage bills are pretty small, right?
Yes.
So
there's about 10 that are large, but yes.
So everyone understands, current practice is to send out the billing at the end of December? Third week of December for the months of November and December.
Okay, this is the first time we will be billing, the first time ever that the water company will be billing in December. Normally we stop billing in October and then start up again in April, but that was before we had the radio reads. So going 6 months throughout the year, that means people will now be receiving a November-December bill at the end of December.
And how much turnaround is necessary to get the billing out? How much time?
Oh, 2 days.
Okay. Is there any reason we should change the current format of billings are going out as near to July 1st, and they have until February 15th to pay?
Only the 6 to 8 weeks, only the 2 weeks shorter, but keeping it at February 15th, which we've always done, I don't think will be that big of a problem.
Okay. And the only difference this year is we're applying the credit card option, correct? That will be in this year's. Okay, does everyone understand the fact that credit cards are going to be used as an option?
Mm-hmm. Without any conveyance fees.
Right, conveyance fee will be covered by the cost of the regular service delivery. Everyone understand that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So as to the recommendation of moving the closure date from March 31st from February 15th, what I'm hearing is that February 15th is still viable and we should stay with that.
Okay.
I don't think any action on the board is necessary for that. Next item.
The next item recommended was that the meter rate be increased from 5 cents per cubic foot over 350 cubic feet per month to 6 cents per cubic foot. And the rationale Lee had behind that, Lee Bateman, was this will start the movement to a more water consumption-based rate structure. So my initial response was it's not currently 5 cents, it's actually $1.60 per 100 cubic feet over 350 cubic feet per month, which actually is a 1.6 cents per cubic foot. That's number one. Secondly, this is a rate structure change that, as I mentioned earlier, is a long-range planning committee task. And any recommendations that come forward should be based on the consensus of the Long Range Planning Committee and presented to the board as a recommendation. Based on all of the Long Range Planning Committee discussions to date, we, our conclusion was that we didn't want to mess with any of the usage rates for 2018, and that one of the reasons that several of us share is the fact that out of 1,710 or whatever it is, residents, we have 662 meters installed right now. So if we in 2018 start raising usage rates, there are over 1,000 people that don't have meters that can use an unlimited supply and they won't be charged anymore. So the discussions that have been going on in the Long Range Planning Committee have been, we need, as far as changing our usage rate structure and implementing potentially multiple tiers with much greater cost per cubic foot, we feel that's still out in the future and not in 2018. I estimated that based on the last usage studies that we've done, that the current rates will bring in approximately $18,000 of income next year compared to about $15,000 this year. The rest of the committee members felt that keeping the structure the way it is this year was also the way to go. So the conclusion I have from the Long Range Planning Committee is that's going to continue to be one of our topics. It's currently one of the tasks on our list, and we'll continue to discuss it and bring forward a recommendation when it's ready.
Comments of the board? Hearing none, then the rates remain as no action of the board is necessary.
All right, the next item dealt with using interim financing versus not having to use interim financing, and what Lee Bateman had proposed here, which is also a rate structure topic that should be decided by the Long Range Planning Committee. He recommended that with the potential, if we don't have interim financing, that the loan would start in June of 2015 or 2019, that we should start charging surcharges, partial surcharges in 2018. So we're going to see during the course of this meeting that interim financing is the route that we're going to be forced to go. The bottom line is with interim financing, whatever interim financer we choose, that financing will start at the beginning of construction and end at the end of construction, which is projected to be around June of 2018 through approximately mid-November 2019. Based on interim financing, our first USDA loan payment would be 1 year after construction complete. So 1 year after construction complete takes us out into late 2020. Based on that, the response is...
excuse me. A year after, if construction starts in June of 18, are you talking about completion, or a year out would be June of 19, correct?
Right, but with interim financing, our USDA loan starts 1 year after construction complete.
Oh, completed.
Yeah.
Okay, I got that.
That's correct, John, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It would put it sometime late 2020 is when our first...
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
So I feel that this is another topic that we definitely need to work with John on and talk through more in our long-range planning committee meetings. But with what appears to be a pretty certain start date of our USDA loan payments being late 2020, there's no reason to start charging surcharges in 2018.
Now, is or are the recent correspondence we just received impact this as far as the interim loan is concerned?
I'm using all that information to provide the information I just stated.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Is everyone on the board up to the documents we just received from John Pedry about interim financing?
So,
hello.
Okay.
Maybe you should ask individually.
People on the board, did everyone get a copy of the documents that John Pedry sent out?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's a little, what we call a surprise. So, to be clear on that, it appears, John, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I know you will, that there is no such thing as a waiver.
Well, it's a little, yeah, you know, I be honest with you, Bob, I do not know if they've ever issued one. Okay, I can't tell yes or no. All I can tell you is in our communications with the state director, we did not get this from Pete or Frank Rizzo. He didn't tell us this, but the state director told us for them to get this loan through at 1.875%, it took them pulling some strings, which means that they would pretty much have to kowtow to the national office in terms of what conditions they would put in the letter of conditions. And he said that there's really no flexibility. Now, it would be nice if we have gotten that same information, Frank, but Frank was under the impression we could even waive it and change it. But after talking with Pete, you know, it was basically a no, and I know Dave and I talked with him twice. I am recommending, though, for the board, for us, to get a letter from Pete. I'm asking him to send us a letter confirming that, if that is the case. We need some in writing. So that really is the last step, but from a verbal standpoint, it's definitely a no.
Okay, and the letter you're asking for is confirming a denial, correct?
That would be correct.
Okay. Does everyone on the board understand that? Are there any questions about this at all?
I do have a couple more comments on it.
Okay.
Just to add a little more information into that area, the interim financing will start once construction begins, which means that we have January through June of next year that we will be covering the cost of the engineering and design efforts. Once we get into construction at the end of June, that will be reimbursed to us through the interim financing lender. So, say we spend $400,000 from January through June paying for all the scope that MC Engineering is performing, we will be paying that out of our budget. Once we hit the beginning of construction, the interim financing lender will reimburse us. And John, correct me if that's not stated correctly.
That is correct. You also get reimbursed for the planning costs and environmental costs, including the PERS. So there's another $130,000 to $150,000 there, I'm thinking, that you'll also get reimbursed for once the loan is signed and secured. And I think the reimbursement even occur before the construction starts, but we'd have to get communications with CoBank or whoever the bank's going to be to verify that. But yeah, that's correct.
So as John mentioned, we're going to have to pay out through June a certain sum of money that will get reimbursed for around June. Then we get into the construction phase. All the contractors that are working through construction June of 2018 through November of 2019 or thereabouts, those payments will be made on a rather seamless process between the interim financing company and USDA. So we will not have to cover those payments through that period of time. However, we will need to cover the interest on whatever amount is lent to us by the interim finance company. And John, have I stated that correctly?
Yes, you have.
Okay. So we have on an annual basis for the actual payments for all the design and engineering work, we will have to pay for that for the first half of the year and then get reimbursed for it in like July. So on an annual basis, it's a wash. However, starting in July, we will be paying interest payments that won't be reimbursed to us until the USDA loan kicks in, which we're looking at out in 2020.
Okay.
Tom, this is Lee Bateman. Was your estimate of $400,000 the total that we would be paying before the USDA or the interim financing kicked in?
Lee, that's just an estimate right now. I just received information, as I think you all did, from John. So I need to sit down with John, Sharon and I probably need to sit down. In fact, we have a meeting scheduled for next week to make sure we're all on the same page as to what the total dollar amount is going to be.
Would you expect to have that information by the long-range planning committee meeting next week?
Actually, the meeting with John and Dave is scheduled for Friday, so it would be the day after.
Okay. Here's my concern, and that's why I sent you and Sharon an email asking for an estimate. You are correct that we need to fund all of those payments. They don't come out of our budget, but they will come out of our cash balance. And so depending on how much cash we have, we may or may not be able to make all those payments, depending on how high they are. So the sooner you can get me that information, the sooner I can do some estimates to determine and advise the board whether or not we're going to have a cash flow problem next year before June.
Yeah. So I think that I can get on the phone with John, or if he's going to be up here in the office over the next few days, then we can get that answer sooner than next Friday.
Yeah, and just to let you know, there is one fallback, and I've had other agencies use this process, and it's to go with a bridge loan. And a bridge loan is used by a lot of agencies to cover their expenses during design, and they'll go to various banks, EcoBank being one of them, and they'll acquire a bridge loan, same interest, same terms, but it covers them during that period such that, you can get a second loan if you'd like, and I'm not sure you want to do that, but you have the opportunity to get a loan through CoBank even sooner than later if you run into a cash flow problem. So I just want to put that on the table.
So you're saying that loan would cover those payments for the engineering and design, and we wouldn't have to cover it out of our reserves or whatever?
No, and I would highly recommend, Tom, that you and I and Dave, we get on the phone with Bentley at CoBank to kind of go over this idea of a design bridge loan, and then that can roll into the ultimate construction loan. There's ways of doing that, but I would highly recommend, and I'm, again, haven't done a construction loan, that we get on the phone with Bentley and discuss that. But so you have some options on the table there.
Right.
That you could look at so you don't get into a cash flow crisis. Just want to make that known.
So would that take the place of the interim financing of the bridge loan?
That's the question. No, that's the question. I don't know.
Okay.
A short-term loan into a long-term, I don't know.
Okay. So, I'm around for the most part. So if we want to get on the phone, what's today, Wednesday? Tomorrow or Friday, I'm available for that.
Yeah, I may be up there Friday too. So yeah, I'll connect with you, Tom, on that. I'll get a hold of Bentley, let him know. We'll set up a time.
Sounds good.
For purposes of clarification for the board, if Long Range could collapse all this down into a couple of paragraphs, starting to lose track of who we're going to owe money to. We're going to be owing money to, or we have an interest obligation on the USDA loan, which kicks in at some date. If we get an interim loan, that's the second interest payment obligation. If there's a bridge loan, and I don't know if that replaces the second one or this is the third one, if you could, you guys, because you'll be meeting, finite that, get out of the board, I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
We'll consider that closure on the matter.
All right. The last item that Lee Bateman had recommended dealt with reserves, and he said it is important to note that the addition of the program to have the company fund the costs of connecting all homes to the new meters will put a strain on the reserves. It's important that the board of directors moves conservatively in its estimates and available funds for the USDA mandated reserves, payment of the connections, and other reserves that will be necessary in the future. And he has some other statements there. But so my initial response was, I totally agree with Lee's concerns. We need to be very cautious and deliberate in the determination and use of our reserve accounts. Reserve accounts is another long-range planning committee tasks, and the responses from the other long-range planning committee members mentioned that this is definitely a topic that we want to discuss next Thursday at our next meeting, so that we can provide enough information. Hopefully we'll have more information on what dollar amount those connections are estimated to be. I know, Bob, that you and Michael and Dave are also going to look into that and figure out what options the board may want to consider there. But I definitely have some questions that I think need answers to make sure that we nail down better that cost of those main lines from the meters to the house. So if John, if you're going to be up here Friday, I can, you and Dave and I can sit down and we can definitely go through those questions. I think you probably have answers for me, but I think it'll give us all a better idea of what the total cost would be if we were to pay everything for that. Because I know there's a couple figures going around right now. And I think I have a few questions that I could ask that might, you know, focus that in a little more onto what dollar amount we may be talking about. And I think based on Bob and Dave and Michael's discussions, then if nothing comes before our next long-range planning committee meeting, I'm going to have that as a discussion point in our meeting, and we can come up with options that we feel that we might want to consider as well.
Comments from the board? I think one thing that we understand is that if we do engage in a rebate program, we can push out the start date on that as long as necessary. there are other priorities in front of it. The little surprise we got on the waiver, which is one of them. Yeah, there'll be an expense there. The rebate program, if we get into it and how it's going to be managed, we'll have that worked out. Dave and I are on target to try and get it something finalized before the January meeting, which is January 13th, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if not, it'll be within a few days of that. Well, it's a great idea, and I'm sure it'll be welcomed by all of our shareholders. It's the water company that decides where it is in the priority of things. And this is one matter we can afford to push off into the future as far as a priority is concerned. Practically, we wouldn't be making any payments under a program like that until late 2018 or mid-2019. So I will get back to long range as far as any developments that come out of the meeting among Michael, Dave, and I. Are there any questions, other questions on USDA interim financing?
Well, that's kind
of... That's another topic.
That's another topic, I would say.
Yeah, okay. Are there any other questions on the budget?
On the rate structure, sorry.
The rate structure's been adapted. Are there any additions or corrections or any other comments to the matter of the budget?
I think that was a topic for Lee Bateman.
Right. Lee Bateman, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. No, I have no other comments.
Okay. Everyone has a copy of the proposed budget?
Yep.
I'll entertain a motion to adapt.
If I could, that budget that was included, you asked that it not be included with a 3% rate increase because we weren't sure how it was going to go.
Right.
So the budget you're looking at in the packet has the zero rate increase.
Is that correct, Lee? Bateman? Lee Bateman?
It looks like that is...
Go to that.
We'll get a clarification on numbers here in a moment.
So the top line, residence and lot fees, do you include the commercials in that?
I did.
Okay. So that top line that says 2018 draft, at $1,503,790, should be revised to $1,547,689. That's the 3% increase.
Okay.
And then it would also increase the contingency reserve to 1.4 from 1.3.
Okay. So that has impacts on the contingency reserve dollar amount, too.
I think we can pass a motion that, based on that number, and then authorize staff to make all the appropriate adjustments.
Okay. Would you put that in the form of a motion, please?
No move.
No. Now, would you restate the motion?
Please.
So moved, that's my trick. please restate it.
That the 2018 budget, draft budget as presented to the board for this meeting, the adjusted in residence and lot fees to $1,547,689, and staff be authorized to make all other appropriate adjustments related to that single change.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second it.
We have a second from Paul Penny. Sorry, Sharon.
Hi.
On the question, all those in favor of the motion to accept the budget as proposed, with the adaption so mentioned, please signify by saying aye.
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 And the chair votes aye. Those opposed say nay. Matter carries. USDA interim financing waiver. It isn't.
That's John.
John, Pedro, you're on.
Actually, can I ask a question?
Well, certainly.
Who is on the call?
who is on the call.
Yeah.
Members of the board, staff of Lee Schmeads, Dave Hicks,
Joe
Tom
Morgan.
Schneider,
Joe Morgan,
John Pedry, Dave Owen,
Michael Minkler.
The only one we're missing is Andy Rich.
And you.
That's it.
Thank you.
Item three.
Yeah, interim financing. I think we've discussed, Tom did a good job kind of laying out currently what's going on with interim financing. And I think I mentioned that we're going to need a letter. I want a letter. I think we should have a letter from USDA, from Pete Ambera. The director states that that there's non-approval of the waiver. I'm assured that we'll get that letter, but we just need to have something in writing, in my opinion. It could be through an email, but I'd rather have a formal letter if possible. Once we get that, then I highly recommend that we start communication. Tom and I have already discussed that, and Dave, and that's working with, again, it's co-bank. There may be another opportunity out there with another bank, don't know yet, but co-bank seems to work real closely from what I can see with other agencies in California, especially rural water agencies, which they have a cooperative agreement with to help serve small districts, small agencies. So they seem to be a good bank of choice. They were recommended, not singled out as a single recommendation, but they were recommended by USDA, the state director, as a very good bank to work with a good track record. So with that, I recommend that we, from my standpoint, we start negotiating or discussing the agreement, terms of an agreement with the, at least co-bank for now, and hopefully go in that direction. Don't know the timeline in which we put an agreement together, lending agreement, but they can work fairly quickly. And they did tell me that they can turn progress payments and payments around within 24 hours to an agency once they get the go-ahead from USDA to release the funds. So they move very quickly. They understand construction and the need to meet time schedules. So that's basically it.
Okay, John, is there any specific action you need from the board?
No, action-wise, I just think it'd be nice to get a motion that would allow myself, and I think Mike should be in that too, and Dave and Tom to start discussing interim financing for now with at least co-bank to see what conditions and terms we can acquire through them to see if it would work in our favor. And that would be my motion.
Well,
I can't make it, but...
No, you can't. No, actually, what you're asking for falls in with the purview of what we're doing.
Correct.
And if we just continue what we're doing, no motion from the board is necessary.
Okay, that's fine.
So, just to...
Can I jump in here real quick?
Yes, Michael.
I agree. I don't think we need a motion at this point. The one clarification or direction I would like to get from the board would be, to what extent do you want us to continue to try to push back on it at all, or should we just assume that we have to do it? And it sounds like that's going to be the case anyways, that they're not going to budge on the waiver. It's pretty frustrating because when we signed the letter of conditions, not only did Frank Rizzo, it wasn't just that he didn't tell us that we weren't going to be able to get a waiver. He specifically said, don't worry about this. We've never made anybody do it before. It's boilerplate language. We'll get around it. That was the discussion that we had with USDA when we signed the letter of conditions. And now we're getting a completely different story. At no time did they indicate to us that the interest rate was contingent on, you know, that specific item in the letter of conditions. I mean, we knew it was in there, and that's why we asked about it, but they basically blew it off and said, you're not going to have to do this. So it may be worth, you know, still pushing back a little bit and saying, you know, this is ridiculous, or we just move forward and do what we got to do.
What about moving forward and still pitching our protest? I don't think USDA is going to change their mind. And I don't want the process to slow down while we wait for an answer. I'd rather get behind it and then protest after it, if you feel that's would make any sense at all.
Okay. Well, I think we'll just move forward, and John, you and I can touch base later today or this week, and just move forward with, you know, I think the biggest thing here is we don't want any more delay. We want to get it behind us and figure it out one way or another, and we can still complain about it along the way.
Yeah, and Mike, I do think even a last-ditch phone call, and down the road we'll talk about it from you, from the attorney, means a lot more than a dumb engineer. So I think, you know, having an attorney make a last bit of effort towards trying to get this resolved may be better. So even one phone call from you would be great. We'll talk about it.
Okay, good. I get to play bad cop.
You're the band. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Any other comments on the waiver that isn't? Hearing none, okay. Item number four. Sharon?
Hi. I'm sure you guys have read this in the packet. I have an engineering degree. What I've noticed in the various, in the area that I live in, whenever a municipality takes on a large project or a school district or whatever, they hire a assistant project manager just to help manage the overall contract and let the staff continue with their day-to-day operations. This is a really huge project that we've taken on, and I'm willing to do a lot of work for, you know, volunteer my time. But I wanted to also offer my expertise as maybe an assistant project manager to Dave and just kind of oversee the contract, making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, so we can make sure everything's getting done that needs to get done. So this is not a reflection on our staff at all or MC Engineering. I think it just might make sense to have one more person taking a look at everything. So I propose, you know, anything over 4 hours a week, an hourly rate. This is something similar to what I believe we did with Steve Albert when we were doing our well investigation, well exploration. Does anyone have any questions or thoughts?
If you allow me to interject for those that are relatively new to the board, this matter of using a board member has come up before. And at the time, and Michael will check me on this, unless there's been some rule law change that we're not aware of, we provided remedy to any issue of conflict. We used a board member last time as a connection between the contractors on the well projects and the water company. And it worked out very well. When Sharon first broached this idea, I encouraged her to bring it before the board. It strikes me that she speaks the same language as the engineers, and I think when you look at the breadth and depth of what we're about to move forward with, that something like this makes absolute sense. But I'll open it up to other board members and their comments.
Sounds good to me.
This is Michael again. Just to clarify, there's no legal problem with it as long as we are just fully transparent about what the arrangement is and what the compensation is. So as long as there's full disclosure and the rest of the board votes to approve it, then we don't have a conflict of interest problem. Sharon, you'd have to abstain from that vote.
Of course.
Questions or comments of the board? Is there a motion to accept?
Was there a motion? There was no motion.
Not yet. Is there a motion to accept the proposal for project manager?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, go on.
On the question, anyone have any comments or questions? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Those opposed say nay. Those abstain. Those abstaining. I only have it 4 people voted on the matter, is that correct?
No, Sharon.
Sharon can't.
No.
Show me as abstaining. Show me Bateman as abstaining.
Show me as which? I'm sorry?
Abstaining.
Okay, 2 abstain and 4 vote aye.
2 abstain?
No, 2 abstain.
Who else
abstains? Sharon. I'm sorry. Oh, Sharon can.
Yeah, Sharon Tobias abstains.
And that was Lee Bateman?
Lee Bateman abstains. And 4 members vote aye, the matter carries. Item 5. I received a letter from our assistant manager having to do with a special request. It came a little late in the game, and I will take the responsibility for that because he discussed the matter after our last meeting with me. And I told him to put it in writing. That's to make a performance adjustment for Tyler Mayo because of his superlative performance during the calendar year. Recommendation is to provide Tyler with an additional 1.9% pay increase, which amounts to about $1,000 a year. What's the pleasure of the board?
Is Bill has recommended this?
Yes.
No.
Hello?
Where did 1.9 come from?
He asked originally for 1.3 or 4, I forget. And when Andy put the salary adjustments together, he rounded up to the nearest 1,000.
Okay.
And 1.9 does that.
With this additional 4.6 that the board voted for previously.
This additional to regular salary increase, that's correct. I'll need a motion to accept, hearing no comment.
I'll move to
accept. I make a motion to accept. Dave Owen.
I'll second that.
Matters moved and seconded. Anyone have any question on the matter? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Chair votes aye. Those opposed signify by saying nay. Does anyone abstain? Matter carries. Is there anything else to come before the board? Hearing none, I wish you all a happy holiday. Thank you very much for taking the time.